Discussed light of the Bhagavat, and that's a very, very nice way for people to meet devotees, come in contact with this culture, with this movement, like that. Cultivation of the human spirit. Then after you read that, though, maybe you want to hear something else. You know? So we have Prabhupada's biography, a biography of the author. Very, very nice. Okay, that was very nice, very edifying. Now what's next? So one nice suggestion is nectar of instruction, right? Yeah. Here we go. Ta-da, 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 ta-da. Always carry it with you, pocket size. And what Sanskrit text is this based on? Nectar of instruction is a summary, annotated summary study of Upadesh Amrita. And who wrote it? Yeah. And he's the leader of Six Goswamis, right? Who are all followers of? Right. Who appeared to teach us the science of? Krishna. And amongst all of Krishna's activities, his most exalted are? Yeah. His pastimes with the gopis. And amongst all the gopis, the most exalted is Srimati Radharani, and Lord Chaitanya has appeared in the mood of Radharani. And that's the preface. Like that. Yeah. So, Rupa Goswami and his followers dominated the world of 16th century, you know, metaphysics, like that. And he was, of course, you know, very, very great, powerful political personality. He and Sanatan Goswami and Anupam were the prime ministers of Bengal. He had such wealth, opulence, unbelievable. And, of course, their friends were Hiranya and Govardhan, who were the fathers of Raghunath Das. But they renounced all of this, right? To become mendicants, live under the trees, to collect clothing from the street, like that. You know? And what do they get? You know, as it goes, Sankhya Purva Kana Magana Tabi Kalavasani Kritao, Nidrahara Vihara Kara Vijitao. No, Chakspaturnam. Chakspaturnam Asesha Mandala Pati, Srinam Sadatu Chabat. Budvadina Ganesha Kokurnaya, Kopina Kanta Shritao. Gopi Bhava. Rasamrit Abdi Lahari. Yeah. They got this love and emotional feelings of the gopis. This ebb and this flood, this tsunami waves of feelings of the gopis in exchange for renouncing all their material opulences like that. So living very simply, Rupa Goswami wrote, I mean, maybe like 18 major works, over 11,000 verses. And he summarized everything he knew in 11 verses, 11,000 verses into 11 verses. So here you have Upadesh Amrita, the pearl of all wisdom, the essence of all advice, right? Like that. So tonight, come and join us and spend 3 minutes with a genius. So that's our promotional poster. We first used it at Oxford. You know, has this. You can get a nice picture of Goswami from the internet. This black and white picture, and it's like that. You know, and then it has you know, 3 minutes with a genius. And this is what a little thing I told you. And so, wow, well maybe I'll go. Okay, so it's, you know, it's a whole packaging the thing. But that's what it takes. It takes about 3 minutes to read all the verses like that. And then they're not like secular verses. It's, you know, very, very few of them are actually Hare Krishna verses. Most of them are general wisdom that every single tradition is talking about. You know? The preface, he gives this, like, probably gives us, like, you know, historical background. You know, from us to the Krishna consciousness movement, to to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, to Narottam, to the six Goswamis, to Rupa Goswami, to Lord Chaitanya, to Radharani, to Krishna. Okay, it's all in the introduction like that, the preface. And in the introduction, then, which is part of the same thing, he says, you know, the very first thing is to control your senses. Without controlling your senses and mind, you cannot make any more progress. So he's introducing the first text like that and talks a little bit about that. And he says, Rupa Goswami has given us so many books, Upadeshamrita, as first instructions, and then Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada gave us as a summary study in Nectar of Devotion, and then Lalita, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. So he mentions it here, and he mentions it several times like that, those three things. The summary of everything, you can take it right along with you as a summary of everything. And then the big brother, right? You know, is it here? Almost, this size, it's the same size, right? Yes. Yeah. Nectar of Devotion, you know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The complete science of Bhakti Yoga. Summary, complete science, and then demonstration. Now that you understood the theory, let's see a demonstration of this. You know, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava, two dramas where all these things are manifest like that. And if you can present it properly, the audience will experience all these different states of bhava, you know, shnigda, shneha, all these things there like that, if you put it on properly like that. Yeah. But nectar of instruction, Prabhupada says, constitutes first instructions, you know, for us neophyte devotees. And he covers, you know, everything. You know, the first, the preface is what I'm talking about. Then after that, what is the very first verse? Who knows the Sanskrit? Then okay. Yeah. Sarvam apimam prativim sasushat. Die. Yeah. So he says vegam. What does vegam mean? Push, urge. Everybody's being pushed around, right? You're being pushed around. Who by? Who are the kings of this world? Rukmini says, I think the five senses are the kings of this world. Everybody's being controlled by them. You know? So this is the same definition that he gives in the beginning of Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion has two texts, you know, at the very beginning. One is Anyavilasita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Navritam Anukulyena Krishna Nusilanam Bhakti Uttama. This is the definition of what is Uttama Bhakti. It's the Paribhasa Sutra, it's the essential text of the entire Nectar of Devotion. Everything else is based on that. And Prabhupada quotes it many times, you know, like that. And pure devotional service means activity empowered by the parampara for Krishna, done with a conscious intention to please Krishna. You know, it shouldn't be covered by any extraneous motives like trying to acquire knowledge about Krishna or trying to gain mystical powers or fruitive activities. And every single syllable in there is crafted like that. You can spend 1 hour just going through this whole thing. This is the whole basis of what is Uttama Bhakti. What is Uttama Bhakti? Yeah. So, and then he also says, Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam, right? Tat Parat Vena Nirmalam, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Bhakti aruchate. Yeah. The bhakti means engaging the senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses. So the very first text here says the same thing. You know, Vacho Vegam, Manasa, Karoda Vegam. Engage the tongue, the belly, the mind, all these things in the service of Krishna. Right? And that's what we're aiming at. If you can do that, you're guru. You can make disciples all over the world. Yeah. So then in text numbers 2 and 3, he tells us, you know, 6 things that'll make this difficult. And 6 things that will make it easy, occupying the senses. If you're overeating, over-collecting, it's very difficult to occupy your senses in Krishna's service like that. Yeah? I think text number 3 is the one Prabhupada quotes the most in his books, yeah, like that. Utsaha nishchaya daryat. One should be enthusiastic, one should be patient, one should be determined, one should get the association of non-devotees, one should follow the previous acharyas, follow the rules and regulations. That's when I see again and again he quotes that one verse like that. Yeah? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 6, 6, 6, right? The song I was singing is a summary of Upadeshamrita. It's from, not from Sharanagati. It's one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song books. You know, we know it, Ohi Vaishnava Thakur. But right along with it, there's two more songs, which are like, you know, songs that glorify, illuminate Upadeshamrita, like that. Okay, so there's 666, that's a Christian thing. We have one more, 666666. What is the fourth six? Six pushes, six favorable things, six unfavorable things, and six kinds of association. What does it mean to associate? Because there are two things, association and process. Which is more important, the process or the association? Yeah? Yeah, more prominent is the association. Yeah. Because you got the association, automatically you'll follow the process. So what is association? If you're working for somebody, are you associating with them? Not really. It's value given for value received. So there's no like karma involved, you know. But it means giving and receiving gifts. You know, talking confidentially about things, you know, giving and receiving special food. At Christmas time, you invite your near and dear ones to pass the holidays with you. You have auspicious food like Johnny Walker Red Label or pickled pig's feet or something, you know. And you say, oh, I saw this in the store today and I saw this hunting knife and I thought of you. And it was very expensive, but I got it for you. Oh, you touched my heart. Thank you, you know, like that. So the gifts that really, Chanika Pandit says, there's no expression of affection like a gift. Yeah. Especially if it's appropriate. And the person knows, he knows who I am, like that, you know. So giving and receiving gifts, giving and receiving food confidentially, and especially talking about things confidentially. And by this we're associating. Sangat sanjayate kamah, Prabhupada says here. One's desires and ambitions develop from the company he keeps. That's Prabhupada's definition. So you start associating with people, you'll become just like them. Your choice is, with whom I'm going to associate, right? Then after that, you can't control yourself. Okay, then he talks about associating with different levels of devotees. You know, there's third class, second class, and first class devotees. And so we talk to them, associate, exchange food, you know, depending on their level of development like that. You know? And then finally in text number 6, he talks just about the Uttama Adhikari. And associating with him. Everything he says, he does, is transcendental. One time when I was first becoming a devotee, I was wondering how prasadam, you know, spiritual master, are transcendental, you know, to the modes of nature. Yeah. So before I was initiated, I was in Los Angeles for one lecture Prabhupada was giving. And Prabhupada was talking, and then Hansaduta told us that Prabhupada said, the spiritual master doesn't do anything extraordinary. He gives Bhagavad Gita classes, he chants Hare Krishna. But through him, the Paramatma, you know, does so many things. So I guess that's what was happening. I was looking at Prabhupada, and I could see. It was like looking at a diamond, you know, sitting in the water. If you have a nice diamond, you drop it in the water in some stream, you can't see it. You know, so you start like feeling in the sand. Where's my diamond? There it is. You know? So you can't see the difference between a pure devotee, an acharya like Prabhupada, and anybody else, you know, material vision. You got to have bhakti, you know, or some undeserved mercy from the Paramatma. So I was looking at Prabhupada, he was lecturing. And so when I'm lecturing, if I scratch my nose, you know, it's because it itches. I can't control myself, you know. But Prabhupada, everything he was doing was just part of his ecstasy in presenting the philosophy. He was so absorbed and beyond the modes of nature. One devotee told me, if you look at, what do you call these things? Movies of Prabhupada, recordings of Prabhupada talking. Whenever he talks about the rascal scientist, he goes like this. You know? That's some bad smell. You know? That, you know. So that I realized, see that, Prabhupada was, he's not a part of the material world. The modes of nature were coming and going around like that. What he was doing was because he wanted to in serving Krishna. You know. So this is Uttama Adhikari, text number 6. He's like the Ganga, even though it's full of foams and bubbles, foam and mud, it's not contaminated. An intelligent person will take advantage of everything he says, does, and like that. So in 7 and 8, then he talks about the process again. So, you know, tanama rupa charitadi sitapiya vidya, right? Tanama rupa charitadi sukirtananu. You know, take shelter of the names, chant the names of God. You know, hear and chant Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, the names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then if you do that with sincerity, then the form of Krishna will start to manifest also. George Bush. Right? Yeah. You don't think about a short lady with red hair, no? No. Already is something with suit and tie, or something's there, some form is there. Nila Madhava, Kalachanji. Yeah. Is it? Form is coming? Yeah. Yeah, as we become dull, we were dull-headed in the beginning, but later on we want a picture. We want to sit in front of an altar. We want the form, because we realize the form is spiritual, something there, you know. So it begins to expand like that. By properly serving the names, chanting mala, then the form becomes manifest. Nama, rupa, charit, then the qualities. Krishna has qualities. He's angry, he's happy, he's funny, he's, you know, so many things like that, you know. And then after that, Sangha. Yeah? Because without Sangha, there can't be Lila. Then you begin to see he's not alone. He's with Radharani. The Prabhupada says at least he's with a cow. Yeah? Like that, or his flute. Yeah? So Nama, Rupa, Charit, Sangha, Lila. That's everything. And it manifests like that, by following the process. Yeah? Okay, 7 and 8. Follow 7, you become detached from this world. You become attached to Krishna. Sambandha. And then once you're attached to Krishna, then you can do raganuga. You can start stimulating these feelings. You can start maturing yourself. That's text number 8. And as you become more advanced, what should you do? Tishtan Raje. You should move in the temple. You should make your home a temple. You should live in Vrindavan. And take shelter of a very advanced devotee. This is raganuga bhakti. So that's number 8. Number 9 is Vrindavan. We're going to live there. Vaikuntaj danito vara madhupuri tatrapi vasotsavad. Vrindavan, Mathura Mandal, is greater than the kingdom of God. Wow, really? Yeah. Because Krishna appeared there himself. You know, and more intense than the general Mathura Mandal are the forests, because there Krishna plays with his friends, so intense. Then more intense than the forest is Govardhan. So many pastimes of the cowherd boys, and also Rasa, and pastimes of Radha and the Krishna and the gopis. But above all and supreme is Radhakund. Yeah, like that. So where is that intelligent person who will not serve his divine Radhakund? Yeah. Number 9. 10, he goes back to association again. But now he goes, you know, before he had, you know, a few kinds of devotees, now he goes back to the whole thing. And probably amplifies it a little bit in the purport to include Vikarmis, Karmis, Gyanis, Vimukti Gyanis, Sadhana Bhaktas, Prema Bhaktas, Vraja Bhaktas, Gopis, Radharani, and Radhakund. That's every single kind of human being you can find is going to fall in there somewhere. Vikarmis do any old damn thing to get what they want, right? Karmis follow the rules and regulations of their tradition, their scripture. And by doing that, you begin to develop some wisdom about what is life. You become a Gyani. And if you perfect your wisdom, you're detached. You're liberated from this world. And then you start to become a devotee. And by following sadhana bhakti, so on, you become a purified devotee. You know? And out of those, the devotees in Vrindavan are the best. Out of those, the gopis in Radharani. Like that. So finally, he finishes off, out of all these gopis, Radharani is the best. And in every way, her kunda is identical with her. You know? Therefore, great sages, you know, are trying to somehow or other take shelter of Radhakund. Because if you bathe even one time in Radhakund, your love of the gopis, love of Krishna, will be aroused in the mood of the gopis like that. But it's very difficult to bathe in Radhakund, right? Well, I've been there. I took a bath there. That's the sign. That's the material indication for us that this is the place where you should try and, you know, be your most careful, your most intense, you know, like that. You know? Somebody goes from the jungle in the Amazon, his tribe has heard about music. Right? So he goes and somebody says, I want music. You know, so I'll go there. He goes and the guy, he says, I want music. You know, I'll kill you. You know, so he takes a cassette tape from somebody back to his jungle and said, this is music. Well, yeah, it's in there, but you got to be able to open it up. So we see, when Lord Chaitanya went there, he was bathing in these two little ponds. He was trying to find Radhakund and Shyamakund. He found one village. What was the name of the village he found? In Vrindavan. Aristagram, right? Because that's where Aristasura was killed, which is the cause of the Radhakund being manifest. So he found that, and there was no kundas dedicated to Krishna in his pastimes. So one old man was walking by, and he said, "Oh, sir, is there? I'm looking at some kundas here that are very, very sacred to Krishna's pastimes." And the old man says, "Well, I don't know, but those two little ponds there, like some lower place in the field where little water was above the ground." He says, "Some people call them Shama and Gauri," like that. So Lord Chaitanya, that's it. So he was out there, bathing himself in this paddy field with this water. What's sannyasi doing out there, So he told his followers, you read the text here, it says that the original Radha-kun and Shama-kun were there. So Prabhupada says exactly. In Spanish, it's translated as he told his followers that this is the Radha-kun and Shama-kun. But in English, Prabhupada says the original Radha-kun and Shama-kun were there. These are just the manifestation for us to try and grab a hold of. So to bathe in Radha-kun, you've got to be able to see the gopis. You've got to be able to see all these pastimes like that. And even Narada Muni and the four Kumaras don't get a chance to do this. We were there one time chanting in Sudamana Maharaj's temple. It's right next to the Radha-kun, right the other side of the Parikrama path. And we're chanting, trying to, be very sincere. And, Radha and Krishna, the gopis are playing, they're splashing in the water. And so maybe sometimes one little particle of water leaves Radha-kun, leaves Vrindavan, leaves Mathura, goes through Vaikuntha, falls down through all the material worlds and hits somebody, And so it was like what happened. Just for one moment, it was like, this intense feelings, just like momentary like that, And Krishna does that. He gives us this opportunity to experience something. We think, that's what life's about, Not a new car and, a pack of cigarettes or something like that, So this is Nectar of Instruction. It's a summary of everything from, who are the six Goswamis, ethics and morality, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhana Bhakti, on up to the conclusion like that, So any questions? It's okay. Any comments? Complaints? Oh, I got a complaint over there,
I feel like I got splashed with a little drop of Nectar of Instruction just now. Thank you very much. I'm going to have to go back and actually try to read the book.
And spend 3 minutes. Yes, sir.
It is. I find it a little tough to actually see like places like Radha-kund or something as something spiritual. Mm-hmm. It like there could be another tank pool of water, and even that could be as spiritual as Radha-kund. So how to actually have an appreciation for the holy dhamma is my question.
No, he's saying. He's saying at different levels. Nama, Rupa, Chari, Adi. So you're trying to see Leela. We'll start with the name. Chant your mouths nicely. Nama, Rupa. And then worship the form. Come to Mangalarti. Have Mangalarti in your house. Nama, Rupa. Charit. Read the Krishna book. It will come automatically. Like that. And then, it starts to become more and more transparent.
Maharaj, you said something like bathing one time, at least in Radha-kunda, give you so much
love for your hours.
I have not personally heard the Srila Prabhupada's lecture, but I have heard comments somebody made that one should not bathe in Radha-kunda. Any explanation or comment?
In the beginning, the devotees, as I understand the history, were like doing water sports in Radha-kund, and playing water polo and stuff, and just really taking like sense gratification. So Prabhupada was very disturbed at that. He said, when you are kicking Radha-kund with your feet, you are kicking Srimati Radharani in the body. My spiritual master never put his feet in Radha-kund. I don't know if Prabhupada did it or not. But then later on, as far as I know, he then said, yes, you could very respectfully, you could submerge in the kunda like that. Myself, since I heard that, I used to go and I just started taking the water on the edge like that. But lots of it. So after this, then there's Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami, some people call it his opus magnum, his greatest work, like that. And we give this course at Radhadesh in Belgium, like that. It's an accredited course, university course. There's one professor, David Haberman. He's from the University of Wisconsin. He's head of the department now of Asian Studies. And he wrote several books about these activities and about the Brajmandal Parikrama, about Raganuga Bhakti. And I think finally he got initiated in Nimbarka Sampradaya, you know, like that. So he has a translation of Nectar of Devotion. It has the Devanagari and then the English. I don't know why he didn't do the, you know, the Western Roman transliteration, because we could all read it then. You know? And then he has the footnotes with the commentary, end notes with the commentaries of Jiva Goswami and like that. And especially we use it for his introduction, because there he gives a whole history of the historical ambience, what was happening, the history of Rasa Shastras, Abhinava Gupta, Maharaj Gupta, the Varaha Purana. It all existed, you know, historically they are known to exist before Rupa Goswami. And probably even mentions some of them, some like that. So I think it's pretty good. I mean, he's still kind of, you know, not quite sure exactly what's going on according to his writings. He may have changed now, but, you know, but he has a good heart and he's a pretty good idea about what's going on. So it's like, it's a pretty good idea about the perspective and stuff like that. And especially in terms of, you know, of adjudicating these things, where was he? It's like making these things acceptable to Western academic audiences. You need a professor like that. So we use him first off to get people to understand, okay, this is bona fide text. And then we go into our translations. Bhanu Maharaj has a translation. Of course, Prabhupada has a summary study. Then Dhanadhar Maharaj has Waves of Devotion, where he goes through and explains why Prabhupada says this and that. He just takes each one and goes through the original Sanskrit in more depth. Because Prabhupada did it very quickly, you know, and there's many of the words, I mean, it's really extremely, extremely, I mean, I can say five or six times, analytical text. You know, this has five categories, each of those has three categories, this has two categories, this can actually be related back like that, you know. If you know biology, the Krebs free energy cycle, this is how your body digests food, right? When you put it on one piece of paper from a piece of bread on down to adeno triphosphate or whatever it is the cells use, it's this big thing, right? All these little, you know, chemical machines going on. So if you actually, if someone did that, Nectar of Devotion would be bigger. You know, 9-point type would be about like this big with all these divisions. Generally speaking, it's divided in four parts. The eastern part of the ocean of love of God, the southern part of the ocean of love of God. Okay, there we go. Yeah. And each one there's waves, you know. So the first one is general principles of bhakti. It's a summary of the whole thing. Samanya bhakti. What is bhakti? We've already discussed that. It means authorized service to Krishna with a conscious intention to please him. Like that. Okay. And then what are his characteristics? You know, give liberation from distress. It's very rarely achieved. It's the only way to control Krishna. Okay, who can take up bhakti? I have so many material desires. Yeah, but you're a civilized guy and you've had a little taste of this, haven't you? Yes, I've had a taste of it, but I have so many desires, Prabhupada. It's okay, you can start. So first there is then sadhana bhakti, which is the second wave, and that means practice. You know, bowing down five times a day to Mecca, fasting during Ramadan, giving charity. Okay, every acharya has his sadhana, like that, you know. And it has two parts. Vaidhi, which is rules and regulations, like that. And by following the rules and regulations, getting up, chanting your rounds, doing your process like that, following St. Francis, then you become liberated, you know, from these material pushes, the vega. You become Goswami. At that point, you can take up Raganuga bhakti, which is also sadhana. Now you're trying to imitate Radharani, imitate Lindvar Nityananda, imitate, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, imitate Nanda Maharaj. Not like a sahajya to enjoy these things, but like a devotee to try and enhance your service. Every day the offerings on time, one wet sabji, one dry jab sabji, savory, puris, salt, pepper, nectar, dal, rice. Hey, Kalachanji, here's your lunch. I'll come back in half an hour. That's Vaidhi Bhakti, you're liberated, you know. Yeah, it can actually go to the ecstasy of Vaikuntha, you know, by following Vaidhi Bhakti alone. You know? But you're thinking, boy, I wish I could feel something. Let me at least pretend like I'm feeling something. How does Mother Yashoda offer lunch to Krishna? How do the cowherd boys have lunch with Krishna? Yeah? So that's Raganuga, trying to follow the raga, anu, ga, going after the raga of some advanced devotee. There's one very important point which I should put a footnote in about. where it says Raganuga, but actually means Ragatmika. You know, it's confusing, very confusing point. And I looked at the original Sanskrit from David Haber, and yes, it says Ragatmika, but it's translated as Raganuga in Prabhupada's book. A Raganuga devotee follows a Ragatmika devotee. You know, like that. But it's nearest that one. So you're following like that. But it's still sadhana. You're still practicing. You're still trying. To give an example, it's like the starter motor on your car, right? Okay, that's bhava bhakti. You know, it's not the starter motor anymore. We're not practicing. That was the real thing. I had some real feelings. I felt some real compassion for people on Sankirtan. And I just couldn't stop crying for 10, 15 minutes. When I would approach people, I would just, and they just, people were shocked, you know, like that. But it wasn't fully intense. I couldn't maintain it. Okay, but now you're starting bhava bhakti. So now you don't have to put any more matches in the fire. Fire's burning, right? Guy's throwing more matches in like that. No, idiot. You know, put some more wood on. You kill it. No, not too much wood. Not too much air. Not too little. So at this point, it's a matter of selecting the shastric injunctions, selecting the stuff from, you know, the Vaidhi Bhakti, and then taking stuff which is coming from the Paramatma, because you're already a Goswami, right? And stimulating your bhava. You know? Then, okay, that's okay. Then finally prema, we're fully awake and having these emotional relationships with Krishna. So that's the western part. Southern part, he just goes in more details of bhava, right? Bhava Bhakti has how many aspects? Huh? Five, I think. Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava, and Stai Bhava. Vibhava is a stimulus for Bhava. Krishna's beauty, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's flute playing, Krishna's temple, things in relationship to Krishna. Now it starts to become analytical. Alambana is directly Krishna, and Udipana, the other way around, which is which now. Udipana is things in terms of Krishna, which remind us of Krishna. And they're both vibhava. They stimulate this. And then the alambana, if that's the one, can be divided into two things, Krishna himself or Krishna's devotee. You know? So how do we react? Anubhava. We have to use some voluntary reaction. The basis is sattvika, this mode of pure goodness, shuddha-sattva. Out of that comes our natural feelings of the heart. You know. And if they're involuntary, it's sattvika-bhava, crying, trembling, you know, stunned, can't talk. All these manifestations are described in every tradition amongst the advanced saints. But if there's a little bit of voluntary intention involved, dancing, clapping, singing, then it's called anubhava. It's the same basis, but when it's involuntary, it's called sattvika, and when it requires some voluntary activity, it's called anubhava. And then, the basis of everything is our stai bhava, our fundamental sentiment towards Krishna. And then vatsalya, madhurya, dasya, like that. And this is a bhava. It's a feeling I have towards Krishna. I want to protect Krishna. You're not a big man, Krishna. Yeah, you only defeated Sridham because he wasn't ready. Now it's your turn to wrestle with me. You know? So Krishna's friends, right? Devoid of feelings of awe and reverence, like that. So this is our stai bhava. This is the basis. This is the water. In the ocean, there are waves, there are tides, there are wind, right? But the basis of everything is the stai bhava, right? Our thing like that. And it becomes agitated by the different combinations of these vibhavas and things like that. You can have a reaction as anubhava. You can start chanting and dancing because you're feeling these sentiments on Janmashtami and it's just intense, you know? And you're really, your throat is open and you're just chanting from your heart. But that also stimulates it to do it more. So the anubhava can also become a vibhava, you know? Yeah, and sometimes out of these, the fifth one then is the Vyabhichari Bhavas. Vyabhichari, I forget what it means. Vyabhichari Bhava. It's the temporary things that come out of the ocean to stimulate it. You know, I give one example like Mother Yashoda. You know, she sees Krishna wrapped up by Kaliya, and Mother Yashoda starts to say things about Kaliya you never knew Mother Yashoda knew. She starts to use words you never knew Mother Yashoda knew about Kaliya, you know, like that. And somebody was videotaping the whole thing, and after Krishna is saved, they're watching the videotape, and Mother Yashoda sees herself saying these things, and she's completely embarrassed. But nobody thinks it's wrong, right? a mother should act like that. When her son is threatened, she should become like a tiger, right? Tigress, you know? But it comes out temporarily. Then it goes back into the Sthayi Bhava, like that, you know, so on. So this is the Bhava Bhakti. The sentiments are, Bhava Bhakti is the immature stage of Prema Bhakti. That's all it is. It's just the immature stage. And by stimulating it properly, hearing about Krishna's 64 qualities, these things like that, then it comes to full intensity, full feeling, and then Krishna can reciprocate with it, like that. That's Prema Bhakti. So the third part is in the five primary rasas, and the last part is the 12 secondary rasas. And these can only exist on a primary rasa. One time, they opened the temple in London, and Mother Malati describes this, that you know the curtain was here, you know, Radha Landanishwar were behind the curtain, and Shyamasundara made this beautiful altar with fantastic columns and everything else. And on this side of the curtain was the Lord Mayor and all these dignitaries, and Prabhupada was talking and introducing the whole concept of deity worship, his inauguration. And Mother Malati says they were on the altar trying to address the deities very quickly. And then one brahmachari stepped back and hit one of these columns. At that point, they all realized that Shyamasundara was an artist and not a structural engineer. Because the whole thing started to fall over, and it was going to crush Radha, and Nishwar, and in front of Lord Mayor and everybody else, you know. So he said at that point, everything went into slow motion, and Prabhupada came off the Vyasasan, and with one hand cleared the paraphernalia, stepped up, took Radharani's hand, and with the other hand held up the column. And she said it was the most intense expression of chivalry she'd ever seen in her life. It was like, Madame, please allow me to help you in this difficult situation, like that, you know? And then everybody else went into, reacted at normal speed, and they came up and grabbed the column, and it was four people to hold it up, and Prabhupada was holding it up with one hand while he was like, and getting assurance to Radharani not to be afraid. You know? So some people say that Prabhupada is an incarnation of Satyaki. There's a reason for this. You know, he's got different reasons. Well, whatever it is. For analysis, then the primary rasa with Radharani might be servitorship or sakya. Equal people. With Rukmini, it might be like that. Equal feelings that we're both kshatriyas and belong to this and this friendly relationship. But then the secondary rasa is chivalry, like that. You know? Mixed like that. So the secondary rasa is chivalry, ghastliness, anger, humor, fear. Whatever they are. There's seven of them. They can only exist on the basis of primary rasa. And sometimes the primary rasa minimizes and the secondary rasa becomes bigger. But it's only because you look at it as based on the primary rasa. We're discussing this morning, and maybe that, Hiranyakasipu has this rasa of anger towards Lord Nrisingadeva, but his primary rasa is servitorship, like that. But now it's retreated to the point where it's not even really visible, and it's distorted. Okay. Five primary rasas, seven secondary rasas, and proper and improper mixture of rasas, right? You know, if I think it's called vibhatsa, which is a totally incompatible mixture of rasas. How many people would like some vanilla peppermint ice cream prasad? Okay. How many people would like some chocolate broccoli ice cream prasad? Okay. This is vibhatsa. Yeah. You know. Maybe Mother Yashoda feeling some servitorship towards Krishna. Krishna says, Mataji, you must do this and that. Over here like that, right? You must let me give yogurt to the monkeys. I owe a debt to them. And she's, taking servitorship to Krishna. Krishna's my master. But it's not an improper mixture for her to feeling motherly feelings and also feeling like servant feelings. But if she's feeling, conjugal feelings towards baby Krishna, this is disgusting. This never happens, like that. So that this thing is called vibhats, is improper, totally incompatible. Now when it's a weak mixture, it's called rasa bhas. This is something in ISKCON we generally talk about as being, it's incompatible, but it's not impossible. I can take an example. Namabhas, Namabhas is the appearance of, it's the appearance of the name before the name is really fully manifest. And the example is given before the sun comes up and you see it, there's already light, right? And that light's enough to drive away the snakes and the thieves to stop doing their building. So you hit your hammer, you're hammering nails, and you hit yourself, and you go, "Oh God, damn it!" Yeah, like that. You know? So the name of God is there, and if you're not an offensive guy, it will actually liberate you. It'll take you away from that pain. It'll take you away. And it's by saying the name of God. Yeah, but this is Namabhas, right? Namabhas Chikirtan, Jap. So same way, Rasabhas is it's not completely wrong, but it's not quite, you know, quite correct, you know, like that. So it's a weaker combination. So he goes through many of these combinations. This is spiritual life. It's all these mixtures of all these different flavors and things like that. The mixtures of prema is the aggregate of the rasas, like that. And they go on experimenting more and more. Right? 31 flavors. That's nothing for Krishna. All these gopis are different flavors. Right? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And then finally, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. One's about Vrindavan and one's about Dwarka. Which one's about Vrindavan? Huh? Vidagdha. They both begin with V. And I haven't had a chance to read that yet. You know, I got them on disc. You know, working that. But Lalita Madhava is after Krishna leaves and all the gopis are going nuts, going crazy, and finally Radharani enters into the Jamuna and disappears. She's drowned herself or something. Nobody can find her. Then when after one day they all disappear, nobody can find them. Have they died or what? And meanwhile, in Dwarka, who's prominent in Dwarka? Which queen?
Rukmini.
Yeah, Rukmini. So she's there and having so much love of Krishna and serving Krishna and so on. And then somebody else comes along. Satyabhama. So Rukmini has one servant, I forgot her name, but she realizes, oh boy, you know, my princess, my mistress hasn't got a chance, you know, compared to the love of this princess. Satyabhama is, you know, hot-tempered Latin lover. Rukmini is this mild, you know, submissive lover, and so her servant is, you know, like, ah, I've got to do something. So they make this arrangement that Satyabhama has to leave and go stay someplace else. So she's about to kill herself, and Krishna comes in the drama, and he's talking to Satyabhama about his feelings about her and everything else. And there's one parrot there. Here we have these, like, you know, these palm pilots and stuff like that to record things. In Krishna's pastime, the parrots do the same work. They can memorize the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, they don't know exactly what they're saying like that, but you bribe them with grapes and hint where they go, and they start saying something, you know. So Satyabhama and Krishna are talking about their awakening of their feelings and everything else, and then Rukmini comes in with her followers and like looks at them both, you know, like that, and they both separate, you know. And then Krishna says, "Oh, we're just talking about, you know, what's for lunch and that stuff, you know." And the parrot then starts to repeat what they've been saying, like that. And then Krishna's trying to shut the parrot up like that. And it's quite funny, you know. And he stuffed the parrot in his pocket, and Rukmini is, you know, pulling him out and looking at him. And here's a grape, my dear friend. Anything more to say? You know, "Oh, okay." I'm talking like that, you know. And then Rukmini runs out crying, you know, like that. And then, you know, she definitely has to go now. That's it. You know, no way. So she's going to kill herself. And then in the end, then somebody shows up. I think, what's her name? Purnamasi comes out of the sky in a basket. It's a drama. You're going to bring her on stage. You know, so somehow she comes out and starts telling everybody who everybody is. Rukmini is Chandravali. Chandravali. Yeah. In the very beginning, he talks about different kinds of gopis. There's Radharani's group. There's those who are a little bit, there's those who are competitors, headed by Chandravali. Those who are neutral, headed by Palika. And those who are a little bit friendly, headed by Shama. It's the very beginning of Nectar of Devotion. And so, many different groups exist. But Chandravali's mood is secondary in Vrindavan. It's very submissive and shy and tolerating Krishna's rascal activities. But in Mathura, it's Dwarka, it's prominent. And so Satyabhama is Radharani, yeah. And then she has her friends, and this is Jambavati. Jambavati is Shaibya, and And who else? Lakshmana is Lalita. And so they're fighting everybody. They're all like, oh, here they all are. Now they aren't lost. They didn't kill themselves. They're all here and they're with Krishna. So every queen has an incarnation of a certain gopi. And they find out because they can't find Jambavati. Where's, what happened to Jambavati? Oh, no, you can't find Vishaka, you know, something like that. Where's Vishaka? You know? So Jambavati comes walking along and they all, here you are. Oh, yeah. Anymore. You know? And so then everybody says, okay, you know, Satyabhama's got to stay here too and she can't go. And then Rukmini puts Krishna and Satyabhama's hands together and Satyabhama's crying and Rukmini's crying and says, okay, but you got to share him with me sometimes like that. And she's crying, they embrace each other and live happily ever after. So of course translating this is a job. You know, I think Kushakrata does what, like very nice work, you know, there's things like that. Kushakrata, I think, gets a very nice sentiment for the thing like that. But he says sometimes he makes mistakes, just plain factual mistakes in his texts. Other people have more factually accurate, but they lose the feeling sometimes, in my experience. Yeah. So we're waiting. Somebody. Generation next in ISKCON. You know, somebody who can mature and, you know, put this in the English language. You know, can sanctify the English language beyond all possible measure. Yeah. So that's in these three books. The Prabhupada recommends many times. It's kind of like our whole Krishna consciousness movement is here in these three books. Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, and Vidagdha Madhava, like the Madhava. And they pull everything out of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Daivi Varnashram Dharma. How to live your Varnashram Dharma and become spiritualized. But the pure bhakti essence, the Goswamis, they pull that out, you know, and collect it in different works like that, and so on. So, any final comments, questions, complaints, donations, apples? Any apples? So, I just want to thank everybody. And for a nice time here the last few days, and Sri Ram is organizing, working so hard, fighting with the robots at Southern Methodist University. You know. And we're trying to develop these programs, especially this series, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, the first two cantos, and Light of the Bhagavat. And we're kind of boiling down to these, you know, like working with these. Prabhupada says you should know a lot about one thing and a little bit about everything, right? So if you know your area, you should be expert in something. You should be expert, you know. But a little bit about everything, so then you can then connect that up. You know, get juice from other people and give things like that and stuff too. And then we all form a part of the Sankirtan party. And if you want to, you can become a part of the Sankirtan party forever. And always go with Srila Prabhupada, right? And see each other. Oh, there he is again. I was so-and-so. Oh, I was so-and-so. Here we are again. So Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki. Gaura Prema Nandi Hari Hari Gaura. Pretty good.